The following worship service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
Good evening, church. Strange for us to say that, is it, as Methodists? And we thank you for being here, greeting you in the name of Christ our Savior, Christ our Redeemer, Christ our Lord. Christ is certainly at the center of our hearts this evening, I do pray. The Acts in the upper room, for which we will read part of, found in the Gospel of John in the 13th chapter, will remind us of two particular acts that happen. And those two acts are hallmarks, birthmarks of disciples. Well, let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we come humbly before you on a Monday, Thursday, Holy Thursday evening, as is our tradition, coming to the close of the season of Lent, to finish our reflections, to focus our thoughts, to keep our hearts and minds attuned to you, your acts of grace and mercy, your acts of love. As we come now to this service, may our hearts be lifted and open. May your Spirit move within us afresh and anew. May we worship you in spirit and in truth. Hear our hearts and hear our prayers lifted in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let us pray. Before you, on this Monday, Thursday, we bow our heads and humble our hearts. And we lift them before you, gracious and loving God. We give you thanks for the blessings in our lives. Sometimes those blessings are wrapped in blankets of trial and tribulation. Sometimes they are wrapped in the arms of people we love and that love us. Today, Father, we thank you for all the blessings in our lives. Seek forgiveness for our sins, grace to forgive others as we have been forgiven. Let us seek a closer walk with you in everything that we think, do, and say. And Father, we bring the needs of our hearts and lives before you. Some we've lifted aloud, but there are always those things that are there upon our hearts that maybe we just don't want to say out loud. But you see them, and you know them, for you know us intimately, even to the number of hairs upon our head. So, Father, as we bring these needs before you today, we bring them in confidence that you hear our prayers and that they will be answered in accordance to your will. But therein lies another prayer. Give us the faith and strength to accept your will, whatever it may be. Father, maybe the greatest of those would be patience. Let things unfold in your timing and in your purpose and through your plan. And Father, we pray for our church and community this holiday season, this time of celebration. And Father, remind us that Easter isn't about the bunny, it's about the lamb. Sure, we may celebrate it with our kids, but let us never fail to share the story of the event of the Christ. And Father, as we continue our prayers, we pray for our nation, the world around us, that we would all know Christ and share Christ in love and grace. And now we'd ask that you hear us, as in heart and voice we pray the prayer you taught us saying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Join me now in a prayer of confession. Gracious God, we gather this evening hour as friends, gathered with Jesus in an upper room long ago. We come bearing the marks of a bitter and broken world. We come from anonymous places with dry and thirsty spirits. Remind us in the breaking of bread of our need and of your sufficiency. Refresh us and make us whole with the cup of forgiveness. Draw us nearer to each other in mutual service and closer to you in the covenant of faithfulness and thanksgiving. As the night advances, deepen in us a sense of your steadfast love for us in Jesus Christ, our friend and redeemer. Amen. And the Apostle John writes, "Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, you are going to wash my feet?' And Jesus answered, 'You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand.' And Peter said to him, 'You will never wash my feet.' And Jesus answered, 'Unless I wash you, you have no share with me.' And Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head.' And Jesus said to him, 'One who is bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean, and you are clean, though not all of you.' For he knew who it was to betray him. For this reason he said, 'Not all of you are clean.' After he had washed their feet and put on his robe and had returned to the table, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you should also do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." In verse 31 through 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Tradition. Memories. Familiarity. Comforting. Strengthening. Dependable. That is one of the reasons we as humans are creatures of habit, isn't it? How many of you do the same thing the same way every day? Yeah. How many of you put your watch down at the same place at night, or your phone? And what happens if it's not there? It's gone, isn't it? It's just gone. Do you ever look for the gremlins? The little aliens that come and carry your stuff off or move it? Sometimes it's fun if you know other people have those little things to just move things. But if you're going to do that, you got to stay and watch for them to look for it, so that you can have the laugh and then take the beating. You know, sometimes that's what happens. But we are creatures of habit. And I think that as Christians and as Christian disciples, we should really be filled with a few habits. I think there are a few things, and maybe we can call them traditions, but I think there are a few things that should filter into our lives that give us, a sense of belonging, a sense of, if you will, a rock, a place on which we can put our faith. And some of those things for me are like Ash Wednesdays and Maundy Thursdays and Good Fridays and sunrise services. For me, may not be for everyone. You know, some people are still trying to get the stuff out of the corners about 9:30, and there's still not enough coffee to move past the 9:45 mark yet, you know, and that's okay. But habits, we need some good ones. How many of us have bad habits? I have none. I have more than these fingers will probably have. But how hard are they to break? Man, are they. I know Greg's been, anybody else been in the military in here? Okay. Did you learn to cuss while you were in there? Well, I knew before I got there, and the Marine Corps perfected it. And then they put me on a Navy ship, and they fine-tuned it. That saying, nobody can cuss like a sailor, there's a lot of validity in that. That's absolutely one of the hardest things to stop. And I'll bet you, how many of you have ever struggled with that bad language thing? Yeah. Smash your finger with a hammer, and I'll bet there won't be a good thought come through there. You'll be surprised how fast you revert back there. Well, you know what? Good habits are the same. If we make some good habits, we'll turn to them just as quickly as we would turn to a bad one, because a habit's a habit, good or bad. How many of you have got a favorite phrase that you say over and over? Or a favorite passage of Scripture that just kind of comes to mind is Romans 8:28. You know, everybody here ought to know that by now. All things work together for good. You know, it just comes. I've memorized. I've got other ones, but that one's the one that kind of informs me in my journey. But we need to make some habits. And some of those are our faith traditions of things like Ash Wednesday and the significance of the service that reminds us and starts the season of Lent that of ashes we are created, into it we shall, dust we're created, and to dust we shall re. It reminds us, well, Pastor, I don't want to be reminded that I'm going to die. Well, stick your head in the sand and just see how that works out for you. You know, if you're not prepared for it, you certainly won't be ready for it. And maybe it don't matter. They could fight over the toys when you're gone or whatever, but that's just the way it is. And then we come through the season of Lent, and we have some other things as prayer times, but then we arrive at Maundy Thursday. To mourn or to mandate, you can pick one. The Greek's a little sketchy. I looked again a few minutes ago. But Jesus gives us a couple things in this text that maybe we can make habits out of. One of those is to observe the holy days. And to celebrate what this reminds us of tonight is the institution of the Lord's Supper. A new covenant. Jesus takes the bread and the wine of the Passover meal. And his body and blood become those new covenants, those new parts, those new elements. As the lamb was sacrificed and the blood was put on the lintels of the doors, the Lamb of God was to be sacrificed, and that shed blood of a new covenant established. As that poor lamb gave of its body, so would Jesus give of his. Those are things to kind of put in our system, aren't they? And then Good Friday. How in the world could tomorrow Jesus will die? How is that a good thing? Well, if he hadn't have died, we would yet be in our sins. And then we get to Easter, don't we? I had a Baptist preacher when I was growing up. He talked about the holy days. And he talked about Holy Thursday, Monday, Thursday. He talked about Good Friday. And then he had another one, and I want to share it with you. Sad Saturday. He said, can you imagine how sad those people were on Saturday? He said they was busy. They had to get the body down. They had to get in the tomb. They had all that stuff going on and the shock of it all. But can you imagine when they woke up Saturday morning how sad they were? And, you know, I think that's a good holiday, don't you? Sad Saturday. To remember on Saturday that Christ lay in the grave. And then we get to Easter and the resurrection and the empty cross. I said in my theological reflection this morning, and this is a little bit of an aside, I hope that we never in our Christian life become ashamed of the cross of Christ. I hope we never cave in to the people who will say to us it's offensive. There is no greater symbol of love in the world today than that cross. And if a symbol of love offends you, so be it. There are some things we need to hold on to that need to be. And I think that's one of them. We don't worship, it reminds us, right? Of Christ and his sacrifice. And I like an empty cross because he's risen. Let's remember that. Two things. The first one that gives us an idea of what we as a disciple would look like, evidence, if you will, symbols, signs, traits, identity as a disciple. There's two here, two. And I want to boil them all down to two. Not choices here, but two attributes of a disciple. One, Jesus has gathered around the table, even with Judas, and he's broke bread. And now the meal's over. Almost. There's one more toast, the seventh one, in the Jewish Passover meal. Jesus gets up from the table, and he takes off his robe. I wonder what those disciples thought. What's he getting undressed for? Did I miss the invitation? Then Jesus wraps a towel around him, a cloth, gets a basin of water, and he goes and washes the dirty feet of his disciples. No more humble act could he have done than to have washed the feet of his disciples. And you know, Peter's the one that always wants to overdo things, and he says, wash all of me. And Jesus said, I hope you took a bath before you got here, but your feet are dirty from the trip, and I'm going to clean your feet. And Peter says, okay, if I have to. I can imagine Peter sitting there going, wash it. That's good. Because he didn't understand, did he? Jesus said, you don't know right now, but later you will. So the first lesson of being a Christian disciple is humility. Humility. The great philosopher Jerry Clower once said, remember, it isn't the whistle that pulls the train. And when we sing our own praise, sometimes we get the tune a little high. But because I'm a pastor and because you're retired school administrator. Norma, I don't think she's ever going to retire. She's going to do physical therapy forever. We are the same. We have different callings. We have different roles. We have different stations in life and different places in faith. But in the eyes of Christ, we're loved the same. And we should be humble in the life we live, meek in the life we live. That doesn't mean we should be doormats and let people just run over us. We should stand for things that the Bible tells us to stand for. But we should be willing to bow our knee and wash the feet. Folks, if Jesus did it, there must have been a reason. And he said, blessed are you if you understand this. It wasn't that we should go out tomorrow with a 5-gallon bucket and some Dawn dish detergent and some scrub brushes and start washing people's feet. But that we should be willing to humble ourselves, to take care of even the remedial task of life that touches the lives of others. Humility. The second thing in the scripture is found in the last verses I read, and it is the new commandment. Folks, this isn't a suggestion. You did notice that, right? It's number 11. He didn't do away with the first 10. He just added one. And I would contend that if we keep this one, the other ones will be easy. I think that this is the hallmark, birthmark, and attribute of a Christian disciple, is that we love each other despite our differences or because of our difference, because of the diversity and the differences in that. Jesus says this alone, that you love each other. Do you know how strange it is for people to get along? You put 10 people in a room for 4 hours and see what's going to go on in the end of that. How many of you would want to spend 4 hours with your family in the living room? I'm not just talking about the ones you brought with you tonight or those few. I'm talking not more than the four. I'm talking about bring them all in. You know, them aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews and how many of you could just spend 4 hours in the same room and nobody get upset at nobody? With no TV. What if you did have a TV and nobody could decide which football game to watch? You know, you might get in. But think about it. Think about it. When we love each other, can we get along? Yes, but we're still going to argue. We're still going to disagree. But that don't stop the relationship, does it? You see, love's bigger than that discussion. Love's bigger than that moment. Love's bigger than that disagreement. Love is bigger than that difference. And that's what made these disciples unique. You need to read Acts. They disagreed some. But they continued in their ministry and supported each other, sometimes from a distance. But to love each other. Because I don't think there's any of us that can get by in this life without making a mistake and stumbling. How many of you want people to love you as you are? Yeah. How are you going to get them to do that? Love them. That's the way it works. Love them. How many of you want to have patience? Anybody want extra patience? Pray for it. Pray for it. How many of you are carrying around guilt and shame and anger and frustration because somebody hurt you whenever, wherever? Let it go. Let it go. Well, Pastor, it just hurt too much. I didn't say go back and repeat, but let it go. There are things in our life that somebody may never make amends for or apologize for, but you got to let go. Church, never let your past determine your present and your future. It can inform it, but don't let it hold you victim. So the two attributes I want to leave with you tonight as we get ready to come before the table is humility. Humility goes in a long way to not have those arguments, doesn't it? I don't like to argue. I don't like to fuss. I don't like it. Don't like that drama. Don't like all that stuff. Sometimes I'll just say, okay. Sometimes that's not a good thing to say. So, you know, what's it worth? Here's the test I'll give you. Whatever the discussion is, what will it matter in 10 years? What will it matter in 10 years? If it'll matter in 10 years, stay after it. Work it out. Humility and love. Those two attributes are the main attributes of any Christian disciple. That we would love one another and that we'd be willing to serve, even in the washing of feet. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you touch us in so many ways. We have to be humble to come before you, to seek you, to submit ourselves to you, to bring our sins and seek forgiveness, and to accept you as our Savior. And Father, in that, we're accepting your love and grace in Jesus. We're accepting his sacrifice on the cross. A gift of love, to be sure, but still a gift of high cost. So as we go about our faith journey, let us stay humble of heart and life, able to love and forgive, and to think about an eternity that we'll spend with you. Certainly we'll have questions, but one day we'll have answers. Now we have struggles, but then the burdens will be laid down. So, Father, now we would ask that you just let us know humility of Christ, love of Christ, and strengthen us to serve in them as your disciples. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.